Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The weather sucks, but it's better than it's being freezing, Barscout, right?
Yo, the weather sucks. I'll take this every day of the weekend, twice on Sunday. Listen, I'll take a little mist. It's like the little misters that when you were on the sideline, like in Miami or Tampa Bay, like the first game of the season, you're over there like, oh, my God, I can't breathe. I got the little mister. You dream for this mist. I will take this mist in 50 degrees. It is a blessing in January. We all know that around here in East Streets, and it's weird, right, because I hear and I love that your original call is back to the greatest city of the world because when we're national, you couldn't really say that. So now we're speaking directly to an audience of one. Well, maybe two, because I feel like Jersey feels like you slight him a little bit. Because
Connecticut? You know, no. This is tri-state we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We reach far, like, I believe, well up into, like, lower
Montreal.
New York. I think, you know, you can get us pretty, I think, pretty far. We call it upstate New York, but it's, like, into Westchester and beyond. Like, Connecticut for sure, out on the island.
Absolutely.
The five boroughs, Jersey, and then everybody's getting us on the app.
Yeah.
They're streaming. I put the link, by the way, on Twitter at Alan Hunt, and you can stream if you're outside. Because everybody, like you know, all around the country, the people that were listening to us, they got to get us. This is how they're getting us. So that's what we like. But we are in the greatest city in the world, and that's where we're broadcasting from. And I felt like bringing it back.
Yeah, and you said something, right? You said something about upstate New York, and you know, finally we have some good news that maybe you want to tell all the peoples that's listening about.
I'm so proud of you. Yes, upstate, meaning Buffalo, Western New York. Good news from there, because the Bills put out a statement just a little while ago that said that DeMar Hamlin, of course, the safety that suffered the cardiac arrest on the field of Monday Night Football, they said that he has shown remarkable improvement over the past 24 hours. He appears to be neurologically intact, and that's according to the doctors where he is staying right now at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. And the team statement said, while still critically ill, he has demonstrated, again, like I mentioned, that he appears to be neurologically intact. His lungs continue to heal, and he's making steady progress. And, of course, you know, grateful for the love and support we have received. So that part is good. Now, even more comes from Coley Harvey. And, of course, I just had it, and I've got to find it now. Yes, he said now, of course, he's been covering this for ESPN pretty much at the hospital all this time, doing a lot of stand-ups for SportsCenter, giving updates when he can around the clock and contacting people close to the family. And he was able to confirm that Hamlin actually has been gripping the hands of his family members. And that's, you know, also really good news there. Adam Schefter this morning also letting us know that Hamlin's father had a Zoom conference call with the Buffalo Bills and a lot of their players also, which was a very encouraging conversation. And the players, as Shefty said, a source told him that the players really needed that. And so, you know, as we continue to focus on his recovery and the good news there, attention starts to shift and maybe the Bills players can start to shift towards, okay, we got a game to play.
And that's really what everybody was waiting for on Monday. Just the thumbs up.
Yep.
The I'm okay. So you can exhale, right?
Yes.
So you know that the worst case scenario is out of the question, right? Because that's why it was so different to us. We've never seen a matter of life and death on the field. We've seen paralyzation, immobilization, concussions, incapacity, unconsciousness. And now it's like one of those things where he's opening his eyes, he's gripping hands.
Mm-hmm.
Come here. I just want you to do one thing for me. What? Win. I mean, that is a powerful thing, man, because also not only does that let a team know that, hey, our brother's going to be okay, but, man, it puts things in perspective.
Yep.
Oh, it puts things in perspective for you as an athlete. Like at any time that I step on this field, it is a blessing that I walk off. And I'm going to play like there's no tomorrow because sometimes it is no tomorrow.
Yep.
And, you know, before that, every athlete has always known that you don't leave the field the same. Every game takes a piece of you, and you leave a little bit of yourself on the field. And at some point, every athlete has to figure out how much is enough, right? You know, think about athletes, you know, Whitworth, right? Could have still played.
Mm-hmm.
Teams want him to play. Gronk. Right? Still could play.
Mm-hmm.
Walked away. And he said, no, I'm not willing to mortgage that much of my future for my present.
Calvin Johnson. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Megatron. I mean, there's been players. I mean, Barry Sanders. Yeah. There's been players who still had something left
to give, a lot to give.
And you could see, you know, and said, nope, that's enough. You know, I've done enough. I mean, it's why Aaron Donald, you know, flirts with the idea of walking away. How many times he's done that?
That's something to watch, too, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what else? Something to watch. You brought this up a couple of weeks ago, and Matthew Stafford. You said that, you know, he got his ring. He's put in a lot of time. He's had some hits and injuries. And
His wife had cancer. That was a tremendous battle.
And you thought, you know what? I could see him walking away. And his wife went to Instagram yesterday and did a very heartfelt post about what it's like to, you know, again, this is, you know, from the wife perspective, from the family perspective, and saying you see something like that, and it brings a lot of reality, you know, to what these guys put in and what you as a family always deal with. And so that those messages also make you wonder, like, how many players see this and might, you know, think about
the long term.
Yeah, like under my own terms, you know, that kind of thing.
And this is what fans don't always understand. They see us on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Man, they have no idea what we look like on Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday where you can't even roll out. Literally, I used to have to roll and fall on the floor out of the bed sometimes.
Damn.
And use, like, the bed to get up, to stand on my feet. And it would take a while for my body to warm up so I can actually start walking normal. Right? Imagine the worst day of physical activity you've ever had. Like, the first day you went back and you're like, man, it's January 1st. I'm going to Planet Fitness, and I'm going to eat a bagel, and I'm going to work my ass off, right? Mm-hmm. And the next day you're sore as hell, and you feel like, oh, man, I can't move. Imagine that's what it is. It's like getting beat up by a bag of nickels. And trying to get up, and you know, laying in the bed, and you wake up, and like your arm is stuck to the bed because you got a turf burn or a cut, and it's stuck to the bed because you were laying there all day, and then you got to try and rip it off.
Oh yeah.
And you talk about the pain pills that you're on, and the pain pills wear off because you don't want to be addicted, so you want to know how hurt you really are, so you allow it to wear off because they give it to you after the game on the flight back. You know, you got your leg in a boot, all that type of stuff. That's what they don't see, and although the players signed up for it, a lot of times our family members didn't sign up for it. They just accept it because they know we're doing what we love to do. And, you know, it's probably some real conversations being had around the National Football League because this isn't basketball. You don't play football. You know, football is a violent act that requires all-in mental capacity because when you start thinking about getting hurt on the football field, you're probably going to get hurt.
Yeah, and again, it makes you also wonder when you – think about retirement, you know, and then you say, no, I'm going to come back. You tend to see it takes a while to really turn it back on. Maybe Tom Brady was going through a little bit of that this season, certainly as well. All right, again, 800-919-3776 for your calls. We'll get that conversation rolling with you. And also with that in mind, you know, it is, you know, we're Thursday.
Chaos.
I mean, there's no game, obviously, but we got games Saturday and Sunday, and there's a lot of scenarios. I mean, this is a big week.
It's chaotic, man.
The last week of the season, at least as far as we know. Because we still have the hovering about is still that Cincinnati-Buffalo game that may or may not play. And there's been some scenarios suggested about that game that would change what we see happen this weekend, that all of a sudden it changes a lot of what your team could possibly do. Now, locally, we know the Jets, done. Right? But they could play a spoiler.
So you're saying a 0% chance?
I'm going to go with negative.
Okay.
Yeah. But they could still play a bit of a spoiler. And then there's the Giants, who could also play a spoiler, but they're locked in. They're in the playoffs, but they're locked in. It really is, who are they going to play? And I think the first question I'd love to ask Giants fans, because, you know, you're feeling good about your team, and you should, is with the – there's a – I think there's, three or four possibilities of opponents for them, right? Isn't that still – it's still at least – it could be – could it be Philly? It could be Dallas. It could be San Francisco.
Yes, the third seed.
Or Minnesota. I believe it's four. Isn't it four different possibilities? I'm almost positive it's four. And if that's the case, which of those, if you could pick?
Yeah. Who you calling out, Giants
fans?
Who you calling
that.
Out? I want to know.
Like, all right, Bart, we're going to do a role play. Ready to role play?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm a reporter. You're a player. Well, Bart, you know, there's four teams that you could face. Is there one team you'd rather see in the playoffs?
It depends, sir, reporter. What time's the games being played?
I don't know.
Is it playing at the 1 o'clock? I'll take the battery-operated, solar-powered Kirk Cousins.
All right, see, you're not playing the game right.
Okay.
Because the response from the athlete is always the same one.
But they're lying. But they're lying.
It doesn't matter.
They are lying.
Whoever's in front of us, we're going to have to play.
They're all good teams.
We respect everybody. You know, whatever, whoever it is, we just got to be ready for them.
We're just fortunate
to be in the postseason.
Newsflash, Allen. They lying.
I know they lying.
They lying.
That's a BS translator. So while the players will never say to us publicly, like you guys in the locker room definitely have your conversations.
Thank
you.
But
I mean, when you are talking to us, you're going to give us that line.
Yes.
You know, oh, it doesn't matter to us. It's whoever's, you know, we got to face who. It doesn't matter. You know, you're going to get that. But so I want fans to tell me, all right, the players aren't going to admit it, but what about you? Mm. You're looking at this and you're going, man, if we get
who do you want to smoke with?
I want Kirk Cousins. I want the Vikings. They're a paper champion. Like, who is it that you're looking at and you're like, man, we could beat them. I know we could beat that team. Which is that team? Again, 800-919-3776. We'll go over some of the scenarios. The NFC is a lot easier to explain. But when we get to the AFC and a potential of what they might do, as far as how do they figure out that Bills-Bengals game that has not been played, there are scenarios there that can get confusing, but you need to hear about them. So we'll get to all that momentarily, of course, with your calls as well. But you know what? If you want to relive some of the Michael Kay Show 20th anniversary, you can catch the Unplugged segments on the ESPN New York app. You just download the free ESPN New York app, scrolling down to the Unplugged tile, and enjoy episodes 1 and 2 that are up and live now. It's brought to you by Jackpot, the official state lottery games like Powerball, Mega Millions on your phone. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using
like
the code ESPN. It's like $950. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. All right, it's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. We got your calls racked and stacked, ready to go. But let's get to some scenarios here, Bart.
Yeah, that's messed up, though.
What's messed up?
It's messed up that you're not going to ask the Jet fans anything. Because you're going to ask the Jet fans, do they want to win or do they want to lose?
This is what I'll say.
The Jets.
Thank you. The Jets need to – Jets fans right now, just stand down.
But do you want to lose? Do you want to play spoiler or do you want to lose? Because you want draft capital.
Bart, we got 3 hours. Do we want to do all this at once?
Are
you the guy that walks in the room and you ask everybody a question?
Yeah,
but just like, can we just walk through the room? Let's like meet people. Hey, they're the Giants fans. Let's go talk to them first. We'll get to the Jets fans in a little while.
Okay, yeah, let's talk to the Giants.
All right, because
They're more important.
Bigger question is Mike LaFleur talking today and what he had to say about the quarterback and everything else. So, all right, so the NFC scenarios, Bart, are pretty simple to iron out here. The Eagles and the Giants play each other. It's 4:25 on Sunday. It's a CBS game. The Philly, all they got to do is win, and they clinch. Or actually, if the Cowboys lose, so the Eagles could lose and still win the division with a Cowboys loss. If they win, and the Cowboys and the Niners lose, they've got the number one seed.
Right.
San Francisco plays. Let's see, the Niners play the Cardinals.
Yeah,
and that's a Sunday game as well. And the NFC number one seed is right there for them if the Niners get a win and the Eagles lose. So they have that with a win. So they're rooting for the Giants. All Niners fans are rooting for the Giants.
Yeah.
Now the Cowboys, their scenario is the same thing. They can get the division with a win over the Commanders and an Eagles loss. So Cowboys fans are now Giants fans right now. They can get the number one seed with a win, and if the Eagles and the Niners lose, which is extremely unlikely – because they're playing, again, the Cardinals. Let's see. Seattle, this is now just for the seventh seed. Seattle and the Rams play another Sunday 4:25 game. All the Seahawks have to do is win, and then the Packers lose to the Lions. And then to finish it off, this is the game that really matters the most because it's the Lions and the Packers playing each other. That's the Sunday night game. So we might already know a scenario going – actually, we will already know the scenario going into that game. The Detroit Lions, your Detroit Lions, could get into the playoffs with a win over the Packers and if somehow the Rams beat the Seahawks.
Right.
So they'll know. They'll know going into this game. If the Seahawks lose, the Lions are now playing for their playoff lives. The Packers, of course, all they've got to do is win the game. That's all they got to do.
They have the most simple scenario.
Of course, them and just winning, you're in.
Just winning, you're in.
Yeah.
And that's what you. That's all you can hope for, right? And you're talking about if I had to say all I got to do is win and I'm in – mm-hmm. and I got Aaron Rodgers and I'm playing a team that's 500, Aaron Rodgers, if he loses this game, this might hurt his legacy. Imagine that. Imagine you're the reigning defending MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And you're facing a team last year that won, what, three games?
Yeah.
And you got the best quarterback, the top five quarterback in the league, and you can't beat the Lions.
Well, remember.
I know Jared Goff is playing his ass off. But whether the Lions got something to play for when that night game come or not, they are going to play hard because that's what they do underneath Dan Campbell. And they're fighting to have their first winning season in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And they can care less about losing it. Like I say, the scenario about the Jets where the Jets are saying, hey, if we lose, then you know, we'll have a better pick. The Lions are hoping – listen, they want the Rams to win, but the Rams also, if the Rams win, they got their draft pick, so their draft pick may get worse. But they'll take that to get in the postseason. But you know, it's a win-win for the Lions. If the Rams win, then they have an opportunity to take care of their own business. If the Rams lose, then their draft pick just went up.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, because they have their draft pick. They have like the fourth pick in the league in the draft right now.
Who does?
The Lions.
Oh,
because they have
the
Rams pick for Matthew Stafford.
My head is spinning with all this stuff already. Right. But for Detroit, it's really about watching. You know, they'll know before kickoff if they're alive, and that really makes that game exciting. Now, Aaron Rodgers said we're not dead yet 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and he was right because they're right here, and he's 3-0 when it's a playoff clinching game in the last weekend. He's 3-0. So he's been here before. He's done that. And this will be a fascinating game to see where things go with him. But as he pointed out, he did say, you know, back of his mind, this could be my last game at Lambeau.
Wow.
He did say that.
That's what I hate, man. You're going to say that. And then Jordan Love sitting there like, man, come on, man. Like, you know, if I'm Jordan Love, I'm like, man, shut up. Just shut up, man.
We've been through this before with Brett.
You've held me hostage, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well,
if you're a Jets fan, aren't you kind of watching this like,
But you don't know what the hell Jordan Love is. You just saw him play okay against Philadelphia. You don't know if he's a good player. So here's the thing, though. You worry about, like, everybody's, you know, applauding Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, he's done a tremendous job, right? They've rattled up, like, what, four in a row? I mean, they beat
Minnesota. They're 8-8, yes.
Yeah, they beat Minnesota. They beat the Dolphins. Those are two real teams, right?
Yep.
Like, before, we were ignoring them because they beat Chicago and they beat the Rams. But they beat two playoff caliber teams. Now, I know right now the Dolphins are on the outside looking in. And that's why it's really crazy, man. Like, you talk about fan base is going to be extremely upset. And
yes.
This reminds me of, like, the BCS.
But this is less – that's more in the AFC than the NFC.
Yeah.
In the NFC, it's straight up. Like, there's nothing affected, and so it's straight up. So that's the scenarios there. Now, we mentioned a lot of 49ers fans are probably going to be rooting for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Giants beat the Eagles and the Niners beat Arizona, the Niners suddenly get the top pick in the NFC. But RJ in Hillsboro said that he's not rooting for the Giants. Why not, RJ?
No. I'm rooting for the Giants to win this weekend. But I don't want the Giants to have to play the 49ers in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, you don't want to face them?
Oh, why? Why is that?
We do not have good history against the Giants in the playoffs.
remember that Eli game?
So it's a lot of scar tissue there for you.
It's a long time ago, though,
man. That's a long time ago, but that Kwan Williams muff punt is fresh in my memory.
Uh-huh.
We had the game locked up. It was in San Fran. I do not want to see the Giants in the playoffs.
So who do you want to see?
Now, is that just based on history, though?
You know, as a 49er, we can beat anybody. I'll take Dallas. Minnesota, we'll chew them up.
You'd rather take them than the Giants?
Than the Giants, absolutely.
Is it because of the philosophy? They're just a tough team that's won some really low-scoring games?
You know what? No, there's a couple of things. One, they got great coaching. Kyle Shanahan is a good coach, but he does have the tendency to get out-coached against a great coach in the playoffs.
RJ?
How much do you believe in Purdy? Is he Purdy to you?
You know what? Purdy's very Purdy to me. He's got the experience playing 4 years at a D1 school against pretty much the players he's playing against now. As long as he's set up for success, he'll be fine. He just has to stay healthy.
RJ,
I wonder how hard it's going to be for him to swallow when he realizes they're doing it live.
Thank you, RJ. But you know what? Sean is in Queens, another 49ers fan, by the way, in this area.
Yo, where are these Manchurian candidates hiding out at,
Sean wants all the smoke, though, Bart. He's not afraid of anybody. Sean.
Hey, listen, man. Matter of fact, how you guys doing? Hey, Bart.
What up?
I'm like you, brother. I remember in the beginning of the season, you said the NFC East is playing some cream puff schedule, man.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm with you, baby. I said, listen, man, the Niners going to run through that. And if whoever is coming out the NFC East in the playoffs, we're going to run through them like paper, baby. But this is the team. I don't know what RJ talking about. He must think there's the number 56 and number 70 over there at the Jaguar Meadowland or something like that. I don't know who we think is over there at the Giants. But
the
ain't
Christmas
the number
pass.
56 guy no more. I don't know what he's talking about. Bill Parcells is sitting on the couch watching the game with us, so I don't know what he's talking about, this great coaching. Well, but listen, who the team that I don't want to face? And I'm going to keep it real, baby. That Detroit Lions. Boy, oh, boy, they play so hard.
Yeah,
and
man.
I know they coming in there with fire on their cleats if they come down to the Bay Area. Ain't nothing for them to lose, baby. For them to lose.
They're talented.
And like you said, you asked the question what I think about Purdy. I call him Pretty Boy Purdy now. What he is to me, in my opinion, he's a Garoppolo that can throw the ball a little bit better outside the numbers, but he also can move the pocket with his legs.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you this then. Purdy takes you on a magic carpet ride. Is he your starter for the near future? Or are you going back to Trey Lance?
Now we're going to have to think about that. We're going to be in a situation where we got that red and gold Porsche, you know, number 5 sitting on the sideline. We got to get him ready.
Eventually.
That means we moved up the draft to get
right.
To get Trey Lance for what? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Purdy's a surprise.
But does it matter? Does it really matter if you win the championship? It doesn't matter because you also pick Purdy where nobody else picked him. We saw this scenario with Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III. Like, they picked both of them.
Listen,
one was a fourth-round draft pick. They didn't care. Like, they got it right. They found their future quarterback.
Listen, Bart, you know you're an NFL player, man. You're going to ride with whoever's going to win games for you. Whoever's going to be in that daggone foxhole with you, you're going to ride with them, whether it's Purdy or whether it's Trey Lance. But if we go into next season, it's got to be a quarterback battle, man. It's got to be.
Yeah,
I
agree with that, Sean. Thanks for the call, man. That's going to be a really interesting thing, what happens there, because what you said is very possible. I mean, they could be the top seed. Listen, this is the scenario. They could be a top seed.
Yes.
They could. Their defense is good. They could get to at least a championship game.
Right.
If not the Super Bowl. And that's when then you look as a franchise and go, well, what are we doing? Like,
Trey Lance hasn't showed us anything.
Nothing.
This guy
you
showed
don't know
us,
what he is.
This guy's given us 8 weeks.
Can you imagine if that – think about that draft right now. Can you imagine if the number 2 and number 3 picks, both quarterbacks in that draft, are given up by their franchises within their rookie deals? Within their rookie deals, given up, move on. We found something better. It just shows you these drafts, when you're like, oh, it's a quarterback draft, it's a great quarterback draft, man, you never know. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, the top 2 picks in that draft. How we doing there?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It just shows you that we get caught up in these quarterback drafts, and then you realize that it's by far not even close to being an exact science. You just never know. And you can find quarterbacks elsewhere. The Patriots had Drew Bledsoe, and they had a 6-round pick, and they turned him into – he's a legend now.
I mean, look at Russell Wilson. Matt Flynn was brought in to be a starter. He was a later-round pick.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? And I think really what the common denominator is for most of these guys that come in and surprise us
is
they're three or four-year starters, right? Yeah. These guys are mature. Yeah. Kenny Pickett is playing right now. He's 28 years old.
Yeah.
He's 28 years – well, I don't know how old he is for real, but I know he's old as hell.
He's a mortgage, though. He's been in the league a long time. It's like, we see that, right? The guys who have experience.
Yeah.
The
but
guys
that's why,
who didn't
that's
get to play a lot of college ball,
right.
It showed when they got to the NFL level.
I mean, that's why, for me, I'm kind of bold on C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think he should be the first guy out because he's played 2 years, but he's set behind a great quarterback, and he had to earn his spot. Right? So I think he'll be ready to play. I worry sometimes about these one-hit wonders, guys that we don't really know about that come out. You know, that was the issue with Mark Sanchez. Right? When you think about it, nobody – like Pete Carroll said he needs more time. He should stay in.
Right.
But if you're the best of a bad group, then
– Trey hardly played. Right,
Trey or Zach.
And Zach Wilson didn't play a ton either. He played.
That's the common denominator. Look at the guys from that draft that is playing well. Fields played a lot of football.
You come out, and
Lawrence played a lot of football.
If you're them, you come out because it's the money's there. Like you take it, right? But if you're a franchise, you wonder if there is there any cause for pause because there's not a ton of experience there. You take him too high.
Not a lot of
you're almost forced
either.
To play him. No, it's no doubt. And now here are the Jets. When it comes to Zach Wilson, you're getting Robert Saleh saying things like he needs to go to a beach, maybe go read a book. Like, jeez, man. Like, is that where we're at this point?
Is he going? Are we going to cast him away with Wilson? We just going to –
He says they're not giving up on him. They're not giving up on him, but maybe you should go for a walk. Right? Like, it's unbelievable. So we'll get into that Jet stuff, of course. We want to get more of your calls going here at 800-919-3776. I'm curious. So we heard from Niners fans. They're not afraid of anybody.
Yeah, Giants fans. Are they praying?
Like, who is it that you would want to see? If by the end of Week 18, all the chips fall, everything falls, the dust has settled, and you are playing who? And when you're playing that team, you're like, all right, I like this matchup. I'm feeling good about this matchup. That's what we're looking for as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN. Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's go with Lunch Money. Johnny Pickens is back. We found him, Bart.
We found him. He was in hiding. We sent him to Utah for a little bit to everything
we
blew
went to
over.
Network and ESPN, of course, was like, no, this guy's not coming with you. And we're like, what do you mean? It's Johnny Pickens. He makes picks. And they checked his background. They're like, no, this too, way too shady, way too seedy. Did you know he had a room? This is where this dude stayed. Apparently, he's from Comac. He stays at the Comac Motor Inn. That's where he stays. That place has a drive-up window and hourly rates, and that's where he stays. So once ESPN saw that his address, they're like, nah. So now that we're back here, though, we found him. We cleaned him up, and we brought him back in. So Johnny Pickens gave us his picks for this week, Week 18 NFL, Bart. So let's go through a couple of them for you. He gave us three games that we're going to pick from, a little Lunch Money action. For everybody out there, put some money in your pocket. And Johnny Pickens, if I'm not mistaken, where we last left him off, I believe he was in the black. I don't think he was losing money. I think he was actually making money, which is good because I think he needed it for bail. All right. So Bills Patriots is the game, and he's taking the Patriots and taking 7 points. That's incredible, Bart.
He's
saying
the
because the Pats,
seven?
Yeah, he's taking the Patriots and the seven. Bad Pats pick. Winning, they're in. He feels like Buffalo has been through an emotional and distracting week. Typical degenerate. Could care less about people and their feelings. He's like, they're going to be all emotional. So,
but they're so much more the better team. Even if they played a C game, they should beat the Patriots.
And Buffalo is kind of sort of playing for something, but maybe not when it comes to the scenarios in the AFC, which we'll get to in a moment. So anyways, he's taking the Patriots, and he's give me the 7. That's what he says. All right. The next game. So you understand that the Steelers are in a situation now where they also need some help.
Yeah.
And their coach, Mike Tomlin, trying to get a winning record. So the Steelers are laying 2.5, Bart. Mm. And that is something that caught his attention. So Johnny Pickens is looking at a scenario where he can see, the Cleveland Browns, they're trying to finish strong, yes. But what are they really playing for?
Deshaun Watson, baby, trying to prove that he's worth that guaranteed money.
And you know that division. There's no off days. But he's taking the Steelers, and he's going to lay the 2.5 because he loves the fact. He said the line's under 3. He's in. Steelers and the lay in 2.5 for Johnny Pickens. The last game, it's the Rams-Seahawks. Seahawks are playing for something, obviously. They need a win and a Green Bay loss, and they make the playoffs. The Rams, the defending Super Bowl champs, they're out. They're done.
But Baker Mayfield's playing for his future.
Well, I see that's something to keep an eye on. But Johnny Pickens is saying, I'm taking the Seahawks. I'll lay the 6.5. 6.5, Johnny. But he's laying it because he feels like Seattle's playing for something. They're in their own building, and the Rams are done. And the Seahawks, they don't have to wait and see what happens with the Packers to know if they made it. So he believes, though, the 6.5, the fact that it's under a touchdown makes it appealing, and that's the way he's going to go. So, to recap, lunch money for you. Johnny Pickens is saying, take the Patriots and take the 7 points against the Bills. Take the Steelers, lay the 2.5 against the Browns, and then take the Seahawks and lay the 6.5 against the Rams. There's your lunch money for this week, the final week of the NFL season. All right, Bart, so again, 800-919-3776. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. And we're looking at the NFC scenarios. We'll get to the AFC stuff in a minute. But the NFC scenarios are pretty much cut and dried, what needs to happen. And the Giants are locked in at 6, but there's different scenarios of who they can play. And we're looking for who do the Giants want to play. If you're a fan, who are you feeling best about? Like, if we face them, I think we got a shot, of moving forward. And with that is some other Giants news that happened we heard about towards the end of our show, after our show. And you're a guy that liked to talk.
Yeah.
So I want to know what you think of Kayvon Thibodeau versus Jeff Saturday. Now, Jeff Saturday, full disclosure, friend of our show. He's been on our show many times. And, obviously he left ESPN to become the interim head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And in last week's game, as Thibodeau sacked
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles got hurt on the play, and Thibodeau was doing snow angels next to him, not realizing, I believe, what he said.
It's a crazy pitch.
Foles was hurt. But it's a crazy scenario, though. When you watched it, you're like, what the hell is he doing?
Like, it reminded me of Boys in the Hood. Hey, y'all want to see a dead body? It was like, yo, man.
It was rough. But Jeff Saturday, obviously a proud player and now a head coach of that team, he didn't like what he saw, and he had these comments about Thibodeau.
Yeah, tasteless from the celebration afterwards, just, trash. Not a fan of it at all. Yeah, disappointed from the O-line perspective and for teammates in general. We protect our own, man. Y'all know me, man. I've been here a long time. So, I'm just going to tread lightly. Obviously, I didn't like it at all.
He called it tasteless. Now, of course, as we reporters like to do, we run to Thibodeau and say, did you hear what Jeff Saturday said about you? And Kayvon Thibodeau had this response.
That's what I'm saying. Who's the gatekeeper of when to do something? So once we figure out who the gatekeeper is, then we can write the rules and then we can establish, the narratives and things like that. But until, you guys actually are in the sport and do it and be in that moment, you can't create a narrative on it,
Well, we're not creating a narrative on it. The other team's coach had a problem, and he's the guy who played the game.
No, I just don't know who, anybody who commented on it, unless I know who they are. Doesn't really affect me. That's it.
See, this is when I wish the reporter would say, okay, so you're telling me you don't know Peyton Manning. Okay, so you're telling me you don't know who Peyton Manning center was. So you're a pass rusher and you're a football fan. And you've never heard of a guy that went to the Pro Bowl six times. You see, that's why you got to press him on it, man. You can't just let him breathe. But listen, it's clever by him.
Well, I was Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for us at ESPN, in the back and forth there with him. I'm curious to see if the conversation continued with Jordan saying, yeah, you know who Jeff Saturday is.
Hey, come on, man. Why are you lying? Why are you lying?
You know who Jeff Saturday is? He's the guy that would have stopped you from sacking Peyton Manning. That's who Jeff Saturday is.
He would have said, no, he wouldn't. Challenge!
I feel like Thibodeau did something, and we like him. He's been on our show a couple of times. People should know that, too. We had KT on, I think, before the draft.
Yep.
And then we had him on a little bit, I think, last year at some point. Not last year. I should say, well, yeah, technically
last year. Yeah, 2023. Yeah, 22.
We had him on. And we liked him. Like, personality-wise, we liked him. But this is one of the – I feel like it was – he gave such a cliche response. You know, that's the new go-to.
But I know, but
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but the gatekeeper thing is unique, right? He's saying, tell us who's supposed to tell us what we can do and what we're supposed to do.
Well,
and when farther into it, he said, listen, about it. He said, am I supposed to, after I do something, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew, am I supposed to look up and look around and see what's going on? So what he was alluding to is he wasn't paying attention to Nick Foles. He didn't know he was hurt. He made the sack, got up.
I think he made the sack. Fair.
And a lot of times, a lot of these quarterbacks just lay there anyway. We call it the loser limp. You ever see a receiver out wide open, he missed a pass and he act like he dead? He just act like, we call it the loser limp, right? But if he makes the catch and he fall on his face, he gets up and point and he all hype.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he thought it was that. I give the young man the benefit of the doubt. But listen, I love good stories because at some point, if Jeff Saturday continues to be the head coach, they will cross paths again. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I love to see. I love to see the rematch. I love to see the game. I love to see the game plan where they're running whams and woes and traps and crackbacks and all that stuff to prove a point. And that's how rivalries start. Unfortunately, they're in opposite conferences. One's in the AFC, one's in the NFC. Yeah. But I have no problem with the young guy having swag. He's trying to have as much swag going into the season. Now, he's played much better as of late. But he's not in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
No, but I think he's had a good rookie season, though.
Yeah, but him and Trayvon Walker is kind of like, you know, they were the highest, Scott, outside of Hutchinson.
Right.
Hutchinson's lived up to expectations. It's really been about Sauce, and it's been about the Woolen kid out there in Seattle. I think we thought that he was going to come in with his personality in New York. He was going to come take the world by storm, maybe 8-9 sacks, you know, some fumbles. And he's had some good splash plays. Mm-hmm. He just started off late. But you hope that in the future with him and Ozeez and, you know, having one of the, you know, most expensive – because I think if they keep Dexter Lawrence, they're going to have one of the most expensive defensive lines in all of football. Right, and we want to be able to say that, hey, they're one of the defensive lines like San Francisco, like the Jets, like Washington. You want to see them be crazy, and if they're going to do that, it's going to be because this young man is going to be one of the leaders on that side of the ball because he's a guy that's going to get benefits of getting one-on-ones because they're defensive tackles when you look at it. If you look at Lawrence and you look at Leonard Williams when healthy, man, that leaves a lot of opportunities for a guy that has a braggadocious, loquacious type of personality.
Remember, he wanted New York. Remember, he told us that before draft that he was all about it, that he felt like his personality in New York.
So talk your talk, young man.
That he could be like that, you know? I mean, remember, he started out the season hurt. Remember, he was banged up.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, you know, that contributed to a slow start. And just once he got his legs under him, I think he's had a terrific finish to the season. Yeah.
Is it, you know. Scored a touchdown
for him
against Washington.
Did he have any idea what was happening next to him? Clearly he didn't. Could he have handled it a little bit different? Yes. Like, I mean, you know,
we rarely apologize when somebody feels attacked, especially when they're an all-star or a star player, a big personality guy has tremendous belief in themselves. They're gonna always double down. I mean, what do we expect them to say? I'm sorry, I didn't know he was hurt.
Yeah.
I did something wrong. Nah, that's not how. Remember, you understand that the mindset of the athlete. The athlete is really, really, especially when he feels like he's been attacked out of nowhere. He's always going to come back with some kind of something funny and clever. And listen, I don't mind. It was kind of clever. You know what I'm saying? Who's the gatekeeper? Oh, we didn't make it up. Jeff Saturday said it. Who's Jeff Saturday? Come on, man. Everybody know the culture of every team that you're playing. And like someone said, I don't know who Brian Daboll is. Who's that? Like, man, you just played him. He's on the scouting report, son.
800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. More to come, of course. Damian Woody going to join us. We'll get his take on this and other things as well. Good news for DeMar Hamlin. We'll update you on the latest there. We'll get to some Knicks, no doubt about it. They're rolling again. 3 straight wins. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to enjoy a minute. Just can't have nice things.
I'm just saying. I'm saying you don't want to mention any parts of the Pistons beat the Golden State Warriors. The defending champions.
At the buzzer. I was going to, but now I'm not because you did.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We talk about oldie stations, right? Like, we talk about oldie stations. They play that music that, like, is from, now they call it adult contemporary. But when we were kids, there was the oldie station, right?
Yes.
I think it was CBS FM, like, in New York was an oldie station. They played all that, like, doo-wop and 50s and 60s kind of music, right?
That's not old school no more. That's biblical.
And I'm like, is biblical. And I'm like, if there's a station that plays only oldies hip-hop, not classic hip-hop, because classic's different.
Okay.
It's like, it sounds nice, but when you call it oldies, that means like it's only on wax. You can't get it on CD. So we came up with, it's 103.10. It would be like 103.5
the gout.
Like, the gout. And I'm like, so people would listen to it and think, oh, it's the goat. And you're like,
it's the gout, man. My toe's on fire. You know what I'm saying? Or 97 the shingle. You know what I'm saying? See, but it's the thing, right? Bible is like BC.
98.5 the cataract.
Right. You know how it's BC and AD in the Bible, right? For us, like now it's BBC, before Biggie, right? Or BT, before Tupac, right?
Wow.
Everything before Tupac. It's like, is it biblical.
Is Biggie and Tupac the line of demarcation?
They're the line of demarcation, right?
Really?
So understand, Tupac died in the 90s, 96, I believe.
But he's still making albums like 2 years
ago. Yeah. He just dropped the double. Great. He got another one coming out, right?
So, he's on a
they're
going
to remix it.
Hologram world.
He going on a hologram tour.
Yo.
But this is the thing, though. Like the guys you talking about, Run-DMC, that's like before Tupac. Like KRS-One, Kumo D, that's not old school no more. That's biblical.
That to me would signify oldies, like Run DMC, Sugar Hill Gang, the Furious Five. That would have to be in the rotation.
That's never in the rotation. That's not old. That's not old school. That's grandma school.
that's really old school.
Yeah, like I put it like this, right? You don't hear anybody from the 50s and 60s. Are you listening to Nat King Cole? Is that considered old school? Or
I do, that's
a whole nother category. But yeah, on Christmas time, but that's a whole nother category.
Hmm.
Right?
What about so you're telling me that
you listen to Bobby Bland, BB King, those dudes?
So you would play that kind of stuff like Sunday mornings because that's the only time old people are awake listening to music?
Well, that comes
and nobody
on.
Else
that's
is.
That's at 5 o'clock. Old people, like I remember talking to my grandma, old people don't sleep too long because they don't think they're going to wake up. So they wake up at 5 o'clock.
What is wrong with you, man? Don't say that.
Listen, old people don't sleep too long, bro. I promise you.
They take
afternoon naps because as long as they can feel the sun, they know they're okay. You know what I'm saying? But as far as nighttime.
What is wrong with
you? Yo, old people wake up at. Ask anybody in there. Anybody out there, our listeners, call in and tell us what time your grandparents wake up. When you go stay at your grandma's house or your nana house or whatever you call her, what time is she up? It is not a time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why they catch your ass coming in, sneaking in from the club. You coming in, they just sitting there drinking coffee. Like, they've been up for 30 minutes.
Already awake. It is crazy, though.
They go to sleep after 11 o'clock. And they go to sleep after 11 o'clock because they watch the 11 o'clock news. Then they ass up like 6 hours later because they're like, man, nah. I don't know how many more nights I got left.
Man, don't say that.
It's true.
I just want to know what groups or artists would be in the regular rotation
90s
on 103.5 The Gout, our made up oldies hip hop station that we are just making up.
Call in.
That's what I need to know. Like, what would have to be? Like, the ones that you know. Like, I think, like, LL Cool J.
No. Well, LL Cool J.
Like, Rock the Bells on XM is supposed to be this. But Rock the Bells still kind of, like, gives you some newer stuff. And it feels more.
It's 90s. Old school. Listen, Dr. Dre is 56 years old, man.
That's weird.
These dudes in their 50s.
Hey, the last time I saw Snoop. Like, he definitely...
His hairline, he need to stop, man.
He's almost like Stevie Wonder now. Like, he and Stevie Wonder are pretty much at the same place.
Right, he hang with Martha Stewart. He old school, man.
He is hanging out with Martha Stewart. Can you imagine...
His dread is so damn heavy, it's pulling his hairline back.
Early 20s, like teens, right? Hey, one day Snoop's going to be hanging out with Martha Stewart. Like, hell no.
My man, get out of here, man.
But Martha Stewart likes to get down,
would know,
apparently.
Who would know that Martha Stewart is the only one with a legitimate record? All these other dudes ain't even got no street cred. Like, she the one that did Fed Time.
Yeah.
She's the gangster.
And she likes to get down.
Yeah, call her the Black Widow.
I don't mind. It's all right.
All right, let's get back to the people, man. Because
I just needed to figure this part out, and we really didn't have a lot of time.
Well, call in and tell us. You know, we'll tell our callers, man, call in.
Well,
if you got somebody who's going to be on 103 The Gout.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to hear what
group
needs to be on that. But you know what else we need to hear? Because we got a call from Philly.
Philly?
Because we got some smoke being brought to the station right now from Tom in Philly about the Giants and the Eagles
game. Yeah, I'm here.
We got you, Tom.
Yeah, I keep listening to you guys thinking that the Giants got they don't have a player. It was 48-22. We could have put up 100 on you. Nobody's going to cover A.J. Brown. Barkley had 28 yards in that game. The big reality is also the Eagles are going for the all-time sack record held by the Chicago Bears. Whether they have Danny Dimes or the Tyrod back there, they're going to have a bullseye on their shirt. They're 5-6 sacks away. The quarterback is going to be injured. I hope that they rest him for his own sake. And the biggest mistake the Giants ever made is taking Barkley and passing on Josh Allen in 2018, because they'd be going to the championship game had they had the right personnel in place to make better draft picks.
What's that sack record, by the way? I didn't know that the Bears had. I thought that.
You guys haven't talked about it. That's why I was.
Because it's six sacks.
I believe they're 5 sacks from tying.
What's the number?
6 sacks away from breaking Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan's sack record.
That's the 85 Bears.
What's the number? We had 60 at one time.
Yeah, and that's on the line this coming week. And I think with the guy from the Bills getting hurt, the sack record on the line, I think the Giants are going to rest the starters. And I couldn't even watch that game, the 48-22 game. At halftime, I think I put on MASH reruns. It wasn't even entertaining.
But tell me, I don't know how all these callers
keep calling in and think the Giants are going to go to Philly with the sack record on the line, with Hurts back and a healthy Goddard, and possibly win the game. Is I don't know if they're on alcohol, drugs, whatever. It's insane.
But tell me this. At what point do we think that you're going to continue to put Hurts at risk? How are you going to continue to put Hurts at risk?
I think part of it was they were resting him. Minshew, Wentz, Foles, those guys. The past couple weeks, the Jet guys, the Jet coach will be fired next week. He'll be the one reading the book. The Giant coach did a hell of a job getting his team to where they are today because they don't have a Devontae Smith or an A.J. Brown, you know. But they should have never took Barkley with that pick, should have took the quarterback, and you guys would be going to the NFC Championship game many times.
Go read a book, go do something.
As an Eagle fan, we look back at that draft and say, you know, what were they thinking?
Well, we were saying.
You guys took Rainer, so let's not. Instead of taking Justin Jefferson,
we all had bad picks, but I mean that was that pick there would have.
Would
have been a contender.
To be honest, Tom, and thanks for the call. And wow,
they could have took Justin Jefferson. They could have Justin Jefferson too.
The Giants were, but Sam Darnold was the pick there. Sam Darnold was the pick too. Everybody knows that at that time. Now, of course, in hindsight, no. But he was. I mean, come on.
Lamar Jackson, too. A lot of people messed up.
You're going to have 6 sacks. What do you say? Now, there's a lot here.
It's 72,
six sacks.
That's 6 sacks
Daniel
is a
Jones is going to get hurt. There's a lot going on here.
What about Hurts getting hurt? What if Thibodeau comes over and makes snow angels around him? Then what? Are you going to put him at risk?
He predicted a lot.
Yeah, he did. he got his money's worth, and he deserves it.
That's all right.
Got his money's worth. So they record, 6'72".
Six sacks?
That's a lot.
Something to keep an eye on. No doubt
That's
about
a lot.
That.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.